Let's turn to John chapter 17. Read about our Lord's Prayer. John chapter 17. In order to save someone, the one who saves must have authority over all. See what it says here. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. Christ is our great mediator. And all mine are thine. And thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I have sanctified myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray thou for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Faith comes by hearing the word from Christ. For Christ prayed for those who would believe through their word. And that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, our Redeemer, our great High Priest, our Mediator, in his precious name we come to you, Lord, thanking you that you've caused us to come here. Thank you, Lord, for this building that you give us to meet. Thank you for this faithful preacher that you've calls to get up here and tell us about our Savior time after time. We pray that you'd send the Holy Spirit to him one more time tonight, Lord, and cause him to tell us about Christ. Open our hearts, our eyes, our ears. Cause us to see him. We want to hear from him. Forgive us of our sins. Pray for the sick, Lord, that you'd be with them, heal them, if it be thy will. Pray again for my children, Lord, my grandchildren, my wife, her family. They don't know you, Lord, and don't seem to care. Pray that you'd cause them to come hear the gospel. Forgive me, Lord, leave me not to myself. Help my unbelief. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
I want you to look with me in Luke 17. Luke 17. I appreciate these men praying for me. I don't know anybody that don't need it any more than I do. Our Lord started in verse 20 is where I want to start reading and bring a message from this. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife? Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Our Lord is talking about the kingdom of God. Where's it at? How do you see it? How do you know? How do you know? And people's interested, and there's a lot of talk about the kingdom of God in lots of circles. And there's lots of ideas about the kingdom of God. Most people don't believe the kingdom of God won't be until Christ sets up a 1,000-year reign in Jerusalem and sets on a throne over there. But they wanted to know when the kingdom of God's going to come. These Pharisees did. And you remember when our Lord Jesus, right before he ascended up in Acts, his disciples asked him, said, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Will thou at this time restore the king? Will you sit on the throne of David like it was promised? Will you ascend to your throne now? Is it time for the kingdom of Israel to be established again like it was in the days of David, in the days of Solomon, in the days of Hezekiah? Are you going to set up the kingdom again? And they was very interested about that. And our Lord is telling us here that the kingdom of God is utterly and absolutely unlike any other kingdom in this world. That's what he's telling us here. And look what he says. He answered them. They said, when is the kingdom of God going to come? And he says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, with outward signs. He says, the kingdom of God doesn't come with a lot of visibility, a lot of power and pomp and circumstances. You see, the Jews and those people in those days, they were looking for an arrival of an outward, earthly, visible kingdom. And in that kingdom, they would have the prominence and they would have the power. They would sit back and rule the whole world, and that's what they thought was going to happen. And our Lord says, you know, it don't come with observation. And our Lord Jesus said, it won't arrive with armies. There won't be no army come marching in here. I won't come into Jerusalem on a big prancing white horse. There won't be great chariots going down the streets. And there won't be a great proclamation going out. You know, the kingdom of God come, here comes the king. In fact, you know how our Lord says the kingdom of God came? He came meek and lowly, setting upon a coal the foal of an ass. And all they began to praise him. He said, and that's what is written, thy king, O Jerusalem, shall come meek and lowly, riding on a colt, the foal of an ass. And that's what that was absolutely opposite of what they would think a kingdom would come. And most people say that's not the way it comes now. If you saw a fella calling himself to be the king of kings, and that he was king over a kingdom, and he come riding on a little old colt, and everybody said, here comes the king, and they said, the king's going to come, you'd say, that fella's lost his mind. And that's what these Jews thought about him. And that's what most people think about him today. They think he's got to come with great pomp, great power, great circumstances. But oh no, our Lord Jesus said it won't arrive with all folks looking out and saying it. And that's what he said next. He said, they won't say, look over there, there it is. And look over here, here it is. There in verse 21, he says, and look here, it says, for behold, the kingdom of God's within you. It won't come in such a way that people say, over there, see, that's the kingdom of God. Over there, that's the kingdom of God. Oh, see, look at all that glory over there. Look at all that glory over there. That's the kingdom of God over here, and it's over there. But our Lord Jesus Christ said, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual kingdom. The rule and reign of God within is what he's talking about. And when he says the kingdom of God is within you, this means where God is recognized, God is honored, God is bowed to, God is recognized, God is acknowledged, and his kingdom and rule sets up in a man's heart, and he is thrilled to death that Christ sets on his heart. The Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because of that, because the kingdom of God's within you, and don't come with observation, people can't say, there it is. I can't see the kingdom of God within you, and you can't see it within me. But if Christ is in there, and Christ sets up in your heart, and that's what most people's looking for. They're looking for a great kingdom, and our Lord says the kingdom of God reigns in a man's soul, reigns in a man's heart. It's within you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's why people can't point and say, boy, the kingdom of God's over there. Kingdom of God's here. You know where the kingdom of God's at? It's in every single soul that's on top side of God's earth, where Christ comes into a man's heart and soul. And I tell you something, when he comes into a man's heart and soul, he don't knock to be asked to be let in. He don't plead to be let in. He comes. He comes. And I tell you what, look, Romans 14, 17. This is what the kingdom of God is. Romans 14, 17. You know what the kingdom of God is? Look what it said here in Romans 14, 17. Oh, it's a spiritual kingdom. Our Lord told us to pray, said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Come, kingdom. Oh, kingdom of God, come. And may your will be done on this earth, in me, in my home, in my heart, in my life, as it is in heaven. And I tell you what, his will is going to be done on this earth just like it's done in heaven. The only difference is that everybody in heaven rejoices and does the will of God gladly, willingly, joyfully, obediently, with no hesitation, and not just does it. But down here, we do it. Believers do it. But everybody is going to acknowledge that God's will was running in this world and ruling in this world. Whether you bow to it, submit to it, rejoice in it, and find great comfort in it. But look what it says here about the kingdom of God in Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not in what you eat or what you drink. I know I'm in the kingdom of God because I wear white shirts and black pants. And wear a big black hat and I wear long dresses. And I got my hair done up in buns and I don't let it, nobody's ever going to see my hair, you know. And they go on and on with that kind of stuff. I know I'm in the kingdom of God because I send my children to Christian schools or I train them at home. He said, that don't meat and drink, what you eat and what you drink has absolutely nothing to do with being in God's kingdom. Nothing. And look what he goes on to say. But righteousness, this is what the kingdom of God is, righteousness. That's an inward thing. And peace, that's an inward thing. And joy, that's an inward thing. Huh? And joy in the Holy Ghost. All of those things are things that take part in a person's heart, in a person's life. That's the kingdom of righteousness. Acknowledging God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness, and our desperate need of it, and the only righteousness whereby we can stand before God is the righteousness of Christ. And peace, peace with God. God's not angry, God's at peace, he published peace, he brought peace, he established peace. That because we're such peace and been reconciled by the death of God, Christ's Son, that we've been reconciled in such a way that now we can come boldly into the presence of God. Come boldly into the holiest of holies. Come right now into the presence of a holy God, infinitely holy. And I tell you, because somebody entered in for us before, entered into the holy place with his own blood and opened for us a new and a living way into the kingdom of God. And I tell you what, every soul can go right now in behind. You know, only the high priest was allowed to go behind the veil. And the scripture says, now we go behind the veil. God's infinite. He inhabits eternity. He's infinitely holy, infinitely righteous. But our Lord Jesus Christ went behind that veil and put his own blood there. And he opened for us a new and a living way. Means it's constantly and continually open, as if the blood was just put there and the lamb was just slain. And God accepts all of us as we come. Huh? And oh, it's joy. Oh, what joy the gospel brings. What joy the gospel brings to our heart. What joy it brings to our souls. And you've got to go thinking about God and thinking about the gospel and thinking about grace and being saved by grace. Thinking about you being saved. I've stood in utter astonishment many times over my life. I'm saved. Me. I've been by myself and walking along and just stop and say, I'm saved from sin. be if God had not saved me by his grace? But he not only, beloved, saved me, but he takes us from the translators from the power of darkness and translates us into the kingdom of his dear son. that produces joy. Oh, this spiritual kingdom that I'm talking about, it came and men didn't see it. It came in Bethlehem. And a few shepherds saw it. A few shepherds heard about it. When the angels came and told them, "Behold, unto you this day in the city of David is born unto you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You go over and look, and there'll be a stable over there, and there'll be a baby. He'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes. And that's the Savior of this world. That's the Savior of his people. And oh, beloved, when Christ was manifested in Jerusalem for 3 years, our Lord went through Jerusalem, went through Galilee, went through Nazareth, went through Capernaum, went through Judea, went all over preaching the kingdom of God, healing and saving and cleansing lepers and raising the dead and showing people compassion and pity and feeding people that were hungry. Our Lord did all of those things. And still yet, they didn't see the kingdom of God among them. And I tell you what, when he was 8 days old, they took him in the temple to have him circumcised and dedicate him to the Lord as the firstborn son, according to the scriptures. And there was two people in that temple that saw the kingdom of God. Anna had been sitting there. She is a widow for 80 years. She is an old woman. And she recognized the Lord Jesus Christ when he came. And Simeon, God said, "You're not going to die until you see my Savior, my son." And old Simeon walked through there and, oh my. And he picked up that 8-day-old baby and held him in his arms. He says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He saw the kingdom of God. He saw the rule of God. He saw all of God's salvation in that infant. He says, "Now, Lord, just let me go ahead and die. Let me die. I've seen all I need to see. Just let me die." And that thief on the cross, two of them, malefactors, they both railed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden, one said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And our Lord said, "Today, not tomorrow, not a year from now, not when you do better, but today, you're going to go with me. You're going to go to paradise with me." Very, very few people knew our Lord Jesus Christ and saw his kingdom. 30 years later, from that time Simeon and him recognized him, 30 years later, a few fishermen, publicans, and sinners saw it. The king came unto his own, and his own received him not. Righteousness was right in their midst, yet they didn't see it. Look what he said to Nicodemus in John 3. Nicodemus in John 3. Oh my, the king came unto his own, and his own received him not. The king was right in their midst, and they didn't see it. And here's why. Here's why men don't see it. Oh, listen, that says in verse 2. The same night, the same came to Jesus. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, said unto him, "Rabbi, teacher, we know that you're a teacher come from God." Didn't say nothing about a Savior. Didn't say nothing about a Redeemer. Didn't say nothing about a King. Didn't say nothing about the one whose blood was going to be shed. He said, "Oh, you're a good teacher. Oh, my, you teach us all kinds of things about God we didn't know before. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Our Lord answered, said unto him, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born from above, he can't see the kingdom of God. The only way you can see the kingdom of God is to have a new birth. For God to give you a new heart, God give you a new spirit, God give you a new mind, God make you a new creature. You can't see the kingdom of God unless God gives you the new birth. Now that's all there is to it. You know why some people can't see it? Why they're looking for it to come instead of seeing it where it is right now? Because they ain't never been born again, never been regenerated. And that's why he says, old John said to him one day, he said, there stands one among you whom you don't know. You don't know who he is. And then look what he said here. Now go back over in our text there in verse 22. He said to his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. Huh? And here's two comings of Christ in this particular passage of Scriptures, and I'll get to you. He says there's two comings of Christ. And he says the days will come when you'll desire just one of the days of the Son of Man. One of the days like I was with you. One of the days, days will come when you will desire one of the days of the Son of Man, but you won't be able to see it. There will come a time when you'll desire for the Lord to appear and long for his appearing and desire. And there's times now how we desire for the Lord to come, how we desire for the Lord to appear, how we desire that the Lord would come and take us out of this world at times. Sometimes I know everybody don't do it, but there are times that you get so weary and get so heavy in this world. Said, Lord, oh, if you'd just be pleased to come and take me home to be with you. Oh, Lord, if I could see one of your days, when the day that you come to take, desire to see your day. But look what our Lord says. He said, yeah, you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. You'll desire to have one of the days like you had with me. And then he said, they shall say to you, see here, there's the Son of Man over there. Or see there. They say, there's the Messiah. There's coming Christ there. He's come over here. He's come over there. And he said, don't follow him. Don't follow him. They can tell you and said, when you know, I'm not before my second coming, he said, there'll be people saying, the Messiah's over here. The Messiah's over there. You know how many people in this world right now claim to be the Messiah? A lot of them. A lot of them. And I tell you, but look what he said about his second coming. Look what he said about his second coming when he comes again. He said there in verse 24, as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be. And what he's saying was, he says, when I come again, it'll be so suddenly, it'll be just like that. Just when you see lightning flash from the east, going out that way, just like lightning flashing across the heavens. And you'll see that lightning. He said, I'll come so fast, it'll be like lightning. And just as you see lightning, I'll be a visible one that you'll see. I'll be visible. He said, every eye shall see me. Everyone shall see the Son of Man coming in his glory. And it'll be a lightning flashing suddenly, brilliantly. And that's what our Lord said. He said, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. I mean, it's going to come like that. It's going to come like that. Listen, I tell you what, when our Lord comes, it'll be so fast. And fast, they said, he would even change us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When he comes, he said he'll change us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So that means when he comes, everything's going to happen just like that. I never will forget this one time. We had a little old horse. And Joe was his name. Joe, little Joe. Little red racking horse. And we'd ride that thing all over the place. And one day I was riding him. And that's before they put all the timber and stuff in, put all the pine in there. And I was riding him over towards Lawson Town. And there's that great big hill. We went down behind the house and went over and got way up on this great big hill. And I was sitting up there on that horse. And boy, a big old lowering red sky come across. And man, it struck my heart. Said, oh, boy. What if the Lord comes? What if the Lord comes sitting right here? And I seen that and I said, boy, what if the Lord comes to me sitting right here on this horse? And I tell you what, that was some kind of experience. I thought, boy, wouldn't that be something? Sitting on that hill on that little old horse. I said, boy, what if the Lord comes? I'd have left that horse. I'd have got out of that saddle just like that. Oh, my. But look what our Lord said. Look what he said in verse 25. But there's got to be something before his second coming. He talks about his first coming. That kingdom of God that he's talking about now. He said, but first, before he ever comes the second time, before that we'll ever see him in his power and in his glory, before he ever comes as lightning out of the east, suddenly, visibly, powerfully, but first must he suffer many things. What must he suffer? He must suffer being despised, being rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He must suffer at the hands of men. He must be lied on. He must be beaten. He must have a crown of thorns put on his head. He must have a robe put on his back. He must have a reed put in his hands. He must be put on trial. And then he must be beaten. And then he must be walking through the streets of Jerusalem. He must be taken outside Jerusalem. And he must be nailed to a cross. He must suffer all those things. He must suffer even his own father forsaking him. He must suffer. He has to suffer. Without suffering, without him being made a sacrifice for us and suffering for us and bearing our sins, then there wouldn't be any salvation. We wouldn't look for his second coming. We wouldn't care. And then not only must he suffer many things, but be rejected. And when he said of this generation, he's talking about all the Jews. I must be rejected of this generation that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Oh, listen. His first coming, he came in humiliation to suffer and to die. At his second coming, he'll come in power and great glory and put down everything under his feet. And the last enemy put under his feet will be death. And then he'll deliver the kingdom up to his father. Said, Father, here's the kingdom. I brought it to you. This is what I give to you. I give to you the kingdom that you gave me. I give it back. I've made everything under my feet. And oh, beloved, in the first time he came, he was made to be sin. He was made to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. But the second time he comes, he'll come without sin unto salvation. And the first coming, he must suffer. And the second coming, he'll come as lightning. He won't slip in here. These fellas saying, you know, there's going to come a rapture and he's going to leave everybody here to suffer. He's not going. He said there'll be a secret rapture that he'll come and slip his people up out of here. Come on, listen. He never comes secretly first. He ain't going to sneak in here to sneak us out. Our Lord never, he does, what he does outwardly, powerfully, gloriously. And these Jews, they expected a Messiah to come and reign, not one to come and suffer. But in both, in his first coming, he came to reign. And in his second coming, he comes to reign over everything. And everyone. And look what the world would be like at our Lord's coming. This is the way it's going to be when our Lord appears. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Huh? And look what all they did. They did eat. Everybody got to eat. I ate today. And they drank. I drank today. I drank water today, drank a Coke today. They married wives. I married a wife. You all are married. You got wives. And they were given in marriage. We just gave a family, just gave Eleanor away. And they stood up and said, blessed. Her children shall rise up and call her blessed. When I said, who gives this woman to be wed to this man? Her children got up and said, her children rise up and call her blessed. And we do. Oh, what an experience that was. Huh? And they'd done all of that until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Nothing wrong with what they were doing. The thing that was wrong was that was the only thing they cared about. Noah preached righteousness to them for 120 years. They heard the gospel. Noah preached the gospel to them. These men that helped build that ark. He preached righteousness and prepared the ark, and people kept going on and going on as if nothing was ever going to change. Nothing's ever going to happen. Everything's going to go on just like it is now. Until one day it started raining. And the scripture said here, and the flood came and destroyed every single one of them. And that's what our Lord's saying here. Before I come, he said, that's why we're preaching righteousness. That's why we're preaching the kingdom of God. So you won't be caught unaware. So you won't be caught with everybody's doing what they said. But the thing, that's not the only reason for living. To be in the kingdom of God. That's what he said. And then look what else he said. In the days of Lot. And ain't that the way it is now? In fact, they're not even given in marriage anymore. And then likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Every one of us does those things. Raise gardens, build buildings, build houses, eat, drink, we buy, we sell. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But they was not interested in nothing but that. They didn't care about anything else. And look what it says. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom. This is what's going to happen now. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed it all. And you know what our Lord said? Even thus shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. You know, and God's people are so few. In Noah's days, 8 souls saved. Lot and his 2 daughters were saved. God's people are few. He called a little flock. He said, come and inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. Little flock. Little flock. And it'll be a day of separation. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall come. And it'll be a day of separation. Look what he said in verse 31. In that day which Christ returns, that day when we keep preaching, he shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house. Ain't no, it's too late to go back down and get everything you got and take it away. And if you're out in the field, ain't no sense going back to the house. Men will want to do something. Men will want to try to save themselves right at the last, just like they did in Lot's in Noah's day. Believe me, when it started raining and that door was closed before the ark was ever lifted off the ground, before the rain ever fell. God said, "Come thou into the ark," and the door was closed. And that's what our Lord's saying. The door's going to be closed. And I tell you what, and that ain't raining yet, and that ark ain't moved yet. That there ain't enough rain to cause that ark to be lifted up yet. And so, folks, you know, they went on about their business. Said, "Boy, Noah, him and his family's crazy. They're in there, and they think something bad's going to happen." Boy, when it started raining, you know, they grabbed their suitcases and everything. "Noah, let us in, Noah. Let me and my babies in there. If you won't take me, please take my babies." Too late. And look what he says. Remember Lot's wife? Men will want to do something. Can't take it away with you. They go out in the field, try to save their loss, and they lose it. And he said, remember Lot's wife? Tell you something about Lot's wife. She was a righteous man's wife. Her husband was a righteous man. He is a just man. And she was fled from Sodom with her husband and two daughters. Her and her family left out of Sodom. And God said, don't look back. And that's what he's saying to them. Don't return back. When you hear this kingdom of God preached and this kingdom of God that's within you and this kingdom of God that's the spiritual kingdom, don't try to go back and get something else. You can't go into the kingdom of God with nothing but yourself. And only Christ can put you in that kingdom. He said, don't go back and try to bring a bunch of stuff in it with you. You can't do that. And remember Lot's life. He said, don't look back. And she, because she did look back, she perished in her sins. Why was that? Because her heart was still in Sodom. She wasn't in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God wasn't within her. And I tell you something, Lot and his wife is separated for eternity. And Lot, when he got to glory, he don't even remember ever having a wife. But I tell you what, he had to live the rest of his life without her. Huh? And oh, man, look what our Lord said here. Talking about this kingdom of God, Christ coming. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Go ahead and try to save your life. Try to hang on to life like these folks did. Just go on. Hang on to life. Hang on to what you enjoy. Hang on to pleasure. Hang on to world. Hang on to houses. Hang on to lands. Hang on to jobs. As if that's all there is. But our Lord said, but whosoever shall lose his life, forget that stuff in the house. Forget that stuff in the fields. You're following Christ. You're after Christ. You're going to Christ. And who loses his life, gives it up to the truth of God's words, to its warning, to faith like Noah, to faith like Lot, our Lord Jesus Christ, yet he'll save his life. His life will be preserved. Huh? And oh my. And then when this day happens, and this is what happens in the gospel even now. But there's going to be such a day of separation. Look what he says. What an awful day of separation. I tell you, in verse 34, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. Two men. One's going to be taken. Another's going to be left. One's going to go to be with Christ. One's going to face the judgment. Just like when Noah went into the ark, he was in the kingdom, he's saved. When Lot was taken out of Sodom, judgment fell on all the rest of them. And that's what our Lord's saying here. Two women should be grinding together. Oh, they're grinding that corn, grinding that make meal, going to make some good cornbread, they'll be grinding together. One will be taken, the other shall be left. Two men should be out in the field working. One to be taken and the other left. Left. Oh my. And they said, Lord. And they answered and they said, Lord, where, Lord? Where is this kingdom at? What's going to happen in this day? And he said, wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And wherever the body is, wherever men say the body is, and this body means a corpse. This body means a corpse. That people's going to say the kingdom, then they're going to say, no, we don't have to worry about that. The kingdom's over here. And it's a dead corpse. It's a dead body. And there in the scriptures, when it says eagles here, it's talking about vultures. And that's what will happen. People will run here and yonder, and wherever they end up at, there'll be a bunch of vultures eating on a corpse. And the kingdom of God will be established forever in glory. God's people will be in it. And then judgment's going to fall on everybody else. It's like those 10 virgins. Oh, they all slumbered and slept. Every single one of them slumbered and slept. But they heard the voice of the bridegroom saying at midnight, arise, the bridegroom's coming. Boy, the five jumped up and said, oh, boy. They had their lamps trimmed, oil in their lamps, and they were burning. They went out to meet the bridegroom. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. My bridegroom's coming. And there's other five. They jumped up and they, boy, our oil, our lights, man, our lights is out. Ain't got no oil in our lamps. Our wicks ain't been trimmed. And they run to the five, give us some of your oil. No, too late now. And then it says, and the door was shut. And the door was shut. When's God going to shut the door? On you. Huh? Maybe God done shut the door on some. Maybe he's already shut it. Maybe he's already shut it. It'd be awful if he shut the door on you, wouldn't it? He did it on a mold. He's done it on a multitude of people. He did it in Noah's day, did it in Lot's day, did it in his day, and he's going to do it when he comes again. Oh, my. The door would be shut. Ooh. Our blessed, blessed, most blessed, glorious Savior, our Redeemer. Oh, blessed be your name. Lord, we look for your coming, long for your coming, desire for you to come. But Lord, while we're still yet here, before you call us, before you take us out of this world of sin and sorrow and grief and burdens and we have people we love, people we care about, people we pray for. We pray for our children, our sons and our daughters. Pray for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Some men pay for their wives, and some wives pray for their husbands. Some people pray for their fathers and their mothers. And Lord, as long as we have breath, as long as you enable us, we'll continue to pray for them. And we know that they are just like us. We did all the things that those other people did. But Lord, you made the difference. And we ask that you'd make a difference as it pleases you. And we bring glory to you. To do that for those we love, if it pleases you, and if it'll glorify you and bring honor to your holy name. That's what we want. It's what we desire. And Lord, we're like John, where you said, lo, I come quickly. And John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.